Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Sanjay Gahlot. How are you, Sanjay?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. You're the director of the Ministry of Food and Processing Industries, but you look after Indian wine.
Yes.
Perfect. We're actually here at London International Wine Fair, and India's got a stand here.
Yes.
First time I've ever seen India here. I've seen some of your wines here in the past, but not a stand.
No, India participated last to last year.
Oh, okay.
So India has been participating in wine fairs all over the world.
Yeah.
But, last year India was not here.
Yeah.
But a year before that, India was represented. So.
Oh, okay. Are you guys looking to export your wines now?
Yes, Indian wine producers are already exporting wines, some of them, small and big quantities.
Okay, what I want to talk about today is zooming in on some of the areas, talking about grape varieties, some of the issues associated with the areas.
Yeah.
Last week we touched on probably the key wine area was Maharashtra.
Yes.
Around Mumbai, which is in the...
Nasik.
Is that the sub-region?
It is one of the cities of Maharashtra.
Oh, okay, yep.
So it is further east, northeast of Mumbai, and about 250 kilometers away from Bombay.
Okay, so we're on the west coast, though.
Yeah.
And we're inland. I mentioned last week, I always thought India was quite a hot, humid place.
Right.
You seem to think that Nasik wasn't as bad?
Nasik is not as hot as and humid. It has temperate climate. Not like Bombay, because Bombay is coastal and it has humidity levels are very high and temperatures also go pretty high. But not as high as Delhi. Delhi is 45, 46 at the moment.
I hope you enjoy that. I don't.
I guess change is always better. We have 45, 46 in the summers.
Yep.
And we have 2 and 3 Celsius in the winters.
Oh, cold, cold.
Cold.
Yeah.
So we have all seasons. We have all climatic zones, so we are quite, India has everything.
What about Nasik? Does it have the four seasons or is it summer, summer, summer?
No. It has mild winter.
Yep.
It has, I would say, moderate monsoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say moderate summer.
Monsoon's always something that you don't think about. Sometimes I've lived in England and thought, yes, we're getting a monsoon season here, but it's quite different, isn't it? The monsoon is...
It's very different.
Yeah.
It's very different. Bombay is torrential.
Yeah.
It really, literally, as they say, rains cats and dogs.
How cold does it get in Nasik over winter?
It would be... like 14, 15.
Okay, so
at
not
night.
Yeah. And during the day a bit more?
During the day it will be 18 to 20.
Oh, nice English summer day then, yeah. So the vines probably don't shut down at all over winter, do they? Do they keep growing?
They keep growing.
Do you get two crops or just one crop?
I think they get one crop.
Yeah. I've seen places inland in Brisbane, which is, again, subtropical, where they actually... the vine to get one crop by pruning and things like that. Is that what they do in Nasik?
Yes. They do.
So they're managing the crops?
They're managing the crops.
In Brazil, where it's a bit more subtropical as well, they've got areas where they actually pull off two crops of the grapes, which I think might be a bit hard on the wines because the wines tend to be
pretty awful. If you have too many crops, then the quality of the berry, the grape, it may not be appropriate or up to the mark.
Yeah.
So you must have... if you have too many fruits or too many berries, then the quality will go down. It will be compromised. So just the right quantity, maintaining the required standard of the berry.
One of the great things about a cold winter in a lot of places is it kills off a lot of the bugs. Do you get problems with pests? Is there quite a lot of pest pressure on the vineyards?
Yes, some pressure is there. So some... pesticides, some practices have to be gone into in order to tackle the pests.
Yep.
Yes, indeed.
Has anybody tried being an organic producer?
Yes, there are.
There are
organic producers.
Really? That's always brave. We got organic producers in England. I think they're a mixture of foolhardiness and passionate, but foolhardy.
It's a hard work and yield can't be that much, when you are producing organically. There are risks and there are... hazards, but then I guess it's all part of the game.
Yeah. What about the differences in Europe, for example? Labor's quite expensive, whereas in India, I think, you know, my ignorance is I always think of India as reasonably low labor cost. What that means in Europe is you get a lot of automation of the vineyards, and that can drive things like row spacings and all sorts of stuff. You know, the way you trellis the vines, everything, you know, is geared or can be geared to trying to minimize the labor costs. Whereas India, if the labor's cheaper,
yeah,
then you don't necessarily get driven by
that. Not too much of mechanization. There is labor is available, but then now, lately, one is observing and getting this feedback that labor cost is going up.
Yep.
All this is in comparative terms.
Yeah.
So, some of the wine producers and the vineyard keepers, they may like to go for mechanization, etc.
Yeah, okay.
They would like to.
What about water supply? Is that an issue?
Water supply is okay. In Nasik, there is no issue.
Yep.
But in Nandi Hills, it's a comparatively a drier climate. So the drip irrigation is used.
Okay, so where's Nandi Hills again? So you're heading south, aren't you, from Mumbai?
It is in Karnataka.
Okay.
The Hampi region.
Oh, that's for those of you who like to rave, Karnataka is just inland from Goa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Goa is a very small state on the coast.
Yeah.
And as you come further southeast, that region is the winemaking region.
Yeah. And what do they grow down there?
Yeah, they are growing the Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, Viognier, Chardonnay, Shiraz. So these are the varieties. As far as Maharashtra is concerned, in addition to this, they are also growing Merlot, Malbec, Zinfandel.
I wouldn't say I've tried a lot of Indian wine. I've probably tried maybe 20 or 30 different examples of Indian wine over the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the grape variety that I think does really well, or the one that I've enjoyed the most anyway, has been Sauvignon Blanc. Sometimes I with some of the other varieties, particularly the reds, I always find the primary fruits are just not quite what I was expecting. Whereas Sauvignon Blanc, I've had examples where I thought, gee, they're almost as good as New Zealand Savvies, you know, which high praise.
Yeah, but different producers are following different practices. And in red wine also, I think if you try some of the other, the products from some other producers, I'm sure you will feel a difference.
Yeah.
So
I think there's, my opinion is that India is a bit like England, and that there are some good wines being produced, but there's also some wines that aren't quite up to scratch.
Yeah. That happens everywhere in all industry across the board, you know.
Mm.
Some, you know, that good, bad and ugly.
Yeah.
That issue remains everywhere. So we got that kind of thing. But then I take this opportunity to inform you that Indian Grape Processing Board, we have already rolled out WineNet program in the complete traceability, as well as very soon, I think within a year, we're going to have national standards.
Yep.
For wines.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And that includes definitions and the code of practices and all those things. So everything is going to be notified, and the situation of free for all, you know, less is fair, will not be there, you know.
Are you moving towards more geographical indicators? Is that what you're talking about?
Geographical indicators will be one part of it. If you are claiming a particular thing, the Nandi Hills or Nasik Valley, the Nasik Valley and Nandi Hills are geographical indicators. Yes, we will be moving towards that, as well as in labeling. If you are claiming a particular varietal, then 75% and above, it must be that variety.
Oh, okay.
And not just, you know, mixing up with something else and calling it Cabernet or Cabernet Shiraz or anything like
75%
that.
75% still a wee bit lower. Most countries implement an 85% level.
What I meant was, whatever is the requirement to achieve that essential characteristic of a varietal, one that much quantity has to be there, say 80-85%. Only then you can call it by that appellation.
We've mentioned two wine producing areas, Nasik and Nandi Hills.
That is the region near Bangalore.
Just on that, Bangalore is the IT capital, isn't it? That's where
that's
all
right.
the IT and
Bombay is the financial. Mumbai is the financial capital.
So you've got two wine regions based around what I presume is reasonably wealthy areas or relatively wealthy areas.
Yes. Yes.
But there's other wine. People have talked about other areas in India being suitable, but maybe not popular at the moment, such as the Mount Albi in Rajasthan.
Rajasthan, the wine is consumed considerably. Let me tell you, as far as the consumption is concerned, the highest consumption is in the state of Punjab.
Is it?
Yes. Not just wine, but other liquor as well.
Oh, okay.
Like in this. Delhi also. Delhi is also a large consumer.
Yeah, yeah.
So as far as market is concerned, the big market exists in northern part. Also in southern part, in Tamil Nadu, in Karnataka, in Andhra Pradesh.
Mm-hmm.
So all these places are, largish market exist.
Okay, so Rajasthan though, have you ever heard of Mount Alba? Abu. Is that,
Mount Abu. Yes, Mount Abu is a hill station in Rajasthan.
Is there wine produced up there?
No.
Because there's a guy who I've interviewed in the past, and I was reading his website about Indian wine. He's an Indian, but called Warren Edwards. He does a business called Wine for Spice.
Oh.
I'm not
aware of any wine being produced in Mount Abu.
No, he didn't necessarily say that. He thought that the climate was suitable, though, because it's
people may be
altitude.
Experimenting. They may be experimenting. Some people are experimenting with producing wine in the state of Himachal Pradesh as well, which is a hilly area. The hills, the foothills of Himachal Pradesh, which is here.
And the foothills of the Himalayas right up the north.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
So they are experimenting, and some little quantity is being produced. Of course, it has its own peculiar characteristics, but not too much, very negligible.
Okay, all right. And where do you think wine consumption is going in India over the next wee while? Because in places like China, wine consumption has been going up and up and up ever since the government sort of said, rice is for food, not for alcoholic beverage. And so people have been planting grapes to try and get their beverage.
Looks like consumption will go up. Consumption will go up. But as I was telling you, if the wine is put under the regime of goods and services tax, then all these, because markup keeps going up with the interstate movement of wine and punishing taxation regimes, between the states. If it becomes one unified market, then we can hope that market will pick up and wine consumption will go. And wine consumption is going up. Despite all these not so favorable taxation regimes, direct tax, the indirect tax regime, we hope that with some reforms and some hoping that wine is included in goods and services tax regime, the consumption will be going up and the market will grow, expand.
Okay. This probably isn't a good question to ask a man from the ministry, but India's got a reputation as being almost overly regulated in areas. Bit of a slight smile there from you. And for such a small industry, you are building in quite a load of regulation with your net, where you're managing, watching where things are going, you're putting in geographical indicators, all that sort of stuff. Even in England, where the industry is probably a bit bigger, they haven't gone down that route yet because they figured that they haven't quite worked out what the answers are.
I'll put it this way. It's for the information of the consumer,
mm-hmm.
and consumers, the safety of consumers' health.
Yeah, okay.
And we would like to eliminate a situation, information asymmetry exists.
Okay, well, who knows what and who doesn't know what?
The things which I'm supposed to know, I do not know, because what is indicated on the label is not what it contains.
Okay.
So with this simple objective of informing the consumers what they are consuming and whether they are getting the value for their money or not, this whole objective of rolling out the wine net, the safety standards and the wine standards is with this objective. Yes.
All right.
Not so much with the intention of over-regulation or anything. Only from the consumer's safety point of view, that it doesn't contain contaminants and it doesn't contain the residues and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it is safe for drinking as well as you are getting what you're paying for.
Yep, brilliant. All right then. Well, thank you very much, Sanjay, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Chris.
Cheers, bud.